All right, let's talk about some positivity, I guess.
Yes, let's be positive.
Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, in a world surrounded by clickbait, we're going to discuss the one question we all should be asking. Why can't some fans just be happy? This includes ourselves, by the way. We're not just picking on people. How can we as fans be more positive? Let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today is my fellow ho, John Davenport.
Hey, buddy. I'm feeling like there's a lot of attention on me today.
Yeah, because I'm feeling lonely is what I'm feeling like. It's like nobody else is here. It's just you and I. That's it. We can do whatever we want. Gloves are off.
We don't have to worry about weird stories or random bullshit. It's just going to be you and me.
Okay. We're not going to have any stats, though, because Troy's not here, so there's no stats.
No stats. Well, you know, I tried.
Okay. And we're talking an episode about happiness, and we don't have Amanda here. She usually brings some joy. So rumor is she comes back next week. Rumor is.
Are we putting money down on that?
No. Nope. You know what? I will bet you Patreon money if people want to contribute. They can make their bet at patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. How about that?
It's a good idea. I like that. Now, I was going to ask, is it negative that we would be betting against her or for her, or negative that we're betting, period?
Look, here's the thing, all right? There is no world where there's perfect positivity. You can't do it. There are just some things that deserve to get... Oh, that word's coming out. It's too close to anything bad. Ain't doing it. Nope. Or I'll bleep it. Yeah, I'll bleep it. Nobody will just never know.
Yeah, bleep it. That way.
That's too close to all kinds of bad words. I ain't. Uh-uh. Nope. No, but Amanda will be back. So, yeah. We're going to start with, you know, a couple normal things, and then we'll get into the topic. You know what I mean? But remember, you can always find more information at TheHollywoodOutsider.com. You can join our Facebook group, The Hollywood Outsider. We joined Discord. We've actually been on Discord, but we haven't done anything with it. But now we're doing stuff with it. So you can find The Hollywood Outsider on Discord. And we're on X at Buy Popcorn, where apparently you can put naked pictures now for no reason whatsoever.
Oh, yeah. You can post a perfectly good thing about if. And if you go in the comments, all of a sudden it's just like naked pictures.
Which is great. Great. Thanks, Elon. Thanks for taking over. We really appreciate that.
I mean, I really appreciate it. Ugh.
All right. So before we move on, I want to talk about Netflix's 10th ceramic. Before we get into positivity, I gotta bring it back.
You gotta stretch. You gotta limber up.
I gotta start flexing, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Netflix's Ted Sarandis gave an interview last week with the New York Times, right? Where he stated in regards to Barbie and Oppenheimer, and this is a quote. Both of those movies would be great for Netflix. They definitely would have enjoyed just as big an audience on Netflix. And so I don't think there's any reason to believe that certain kinds of movies do or don't work. There's no reason to believe that the movie itself is better in any size of screen for all people. My son's an editor. He is 28 years old, and he watched Lawrence of Arabia on his phone. 2 points on this. Number one, the quality of Netflix originals thus far just does not justify that statement in any sense of reality. I'm just saying. And two, your son does not respect ratio and scope if he's watching Lawrence of Arabia on his phone. And honestly, you should take the phone away. I don't care if he's 28.
You gave him the phone way too early in life.
Time out for that kid. Yeah. So what do you think about this? Look, I'm not, God, I know it's an episode on positivity and here we are. We're just starting with the negative. But I gotta say, that's an insane statement. There's nothing to justify. None of the originals have been good enough, this is my opinion, to say that they would rival Barbie or Oppenheimer. Do you agree or disagree with that statement? Am I overreaching on that?
I would say that the ratio to good versus bad on Netflix leans strongly into the bad, you know, or not good. Let's just say that.
How about average? Let's be positive.
Average.
Average.
Yeah.
Average.
Yeah. It's so solid into the average that you know, you can't really see on either side. You have your one or two, like the Knives Out movie.
I'll come back to that.
Hush.
Yeah.
Hush when it came out. I mean, you have your couple of really great pieces of film that were put on there originally. Mm-hmm. But I can probably count those on one hand.
Red Notice, maybe. I like that a lot. I know a lot of, you know, maybe
Red Notice is maybe not. Six Underground.
Yeah, there you go. There's some, maybe some, those are some trashy blockbusters, is why we're bringing them up. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
But Barbie and Oppenheimer each did $1 million worldwide plus, or billion, well, million. Jeez. Yeah, they each did $1 million plus. They did do, that's a true statement. I didn't lie. They did $1 billion plus each. So, and they became a pop sensation, both of them, for different reasons. So I just have never seen that replicated in Netflix on the movie side. TV, sure. Stranger Things, Ozark, there's definitely a few mentions of that. Breaking Bad, even though it's not a Netflix show. But movies, it just hasn't bled over that much. Maybe Glass Onion. Maybe Glass Onion.
Glass Onion would be one that could possibly bleed over. I think Red Notice, it could possibly have bled over if it was available in on the big screen at all. It's possible. It has that. Hey, it has the sort of.
To be fair, it was for like a week. I saw Red Notice in the theater. True story. But it was like one of those, they don't even count the box office for it. That's one of those things. So I have no idea how much it would have made. But and Glass Onion was in the theaters too. It actually did great. But it was a very, very limited release. So Netflix just doesn't toy with it.
No. Because we had Atlas come out last week, right? And Atlas was, how do I say this positively?
About as exciting as Jennifer Lopez's concert tour?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Did very well, though. A lot of people are boy, we're starting off great with the positivity.
I'm trying, at least, you know. I'm trying to dance around it. The movie itself is okay. It's a beautiful movie to look at.
Yeah, shot well. Sure.
The story itself, all right. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, to your point, I don't know where he's getting his numbers from, with the exception of it's literally his job to boost up Netflix.
That's essentially what it is. He's the hype. Yeah. He's the hype man. Speaking of Netflix, though, I think this is great news. This is insane. The new Knives Out film by Rian Johnson has been announced to be filming in the next month. And we don't know much about the plot, but the cast is stacked. The movie's called Wake Up Dead Man, which I think is a U2 song, maybe. I don't know. But the cast includes Glenn Close, Josh Brolin, Jeremy Renner, Kerry Washington, Mila Kunis, Josh O'Connor, Andrew Scott, Kaylee Spaney, and Daryl McCormick. And also, Thomas Hayden Church just joined right before we started recording. Daniel Craig, of course, is going to be back as Benoit Blanc in the movie. I just think this is fabulous. What say you?
I can't wait for this.
Positive. That's us.
Yeah, that's us. That's what we're really good at. I really can't wait for this. Benoit Blanc, I think, is an amazing character. He's one of the best original characters to come out in the last few years. I want to continue to see a good string of movies with him in it. I like Daniel Craig in this role because he gets so many great lines, and the way he kind of weaves that country charm is expertly done. And I still can't get over the line of, it's so dumb.
It's just so dumb. I love the fact that he's been praised for his performance, and I'm one of them. I wrote, this is one of my, I think it was my favorite movie, the first one, the year it came out.
Oh yeah, it was, and definitely your favorite movie,
and it was in the top five for the sequel. I love his performance, but I will say on the record, it's kind of like bad actor school. Like, this is how you make, this is what Tommy Wiseau wishes he could do, which is take a performance that's just out there crazy and make it great. And that's what it is. Because in Lesser Hands, this is terrible. In Lesser Hands, terrible.
It's you can liken it almost to Johnny Depp as Captain Jack.
You can, yes, very good comparison. Look at you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're so positive. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of positivity, I was so excited because we have a new Eminem song with Houdini that brings back like early Eminem, and apparently, you know, Dua Lipa has just forgotten, because didn't she have like a Houdini song out last year? But it's fabulous. I just love the video. The video is fantastic. And of course, he's already taking it's almost like he's using this album, The Death of Slim Shady, to try and get canceled. And I just think it's great to have Eminem back.
Is that positive or is that negative?
I'm positive that I can't wait to listen to that album. How's that?
Okay.
But I'm excited.
He's quite literally trying to do something negative.
Is he, though? Maybe he's trying to shine a light on the excessive amount of cancellations that are being attempted daily.
All right, I'll buy that.
Right?
Yeah, I buy that.
At some point, that whole cancel culture that is or is not real, depending on your perspective, you know, it just needs to stop.
I think that really matters as to whether or not it's real is whether or not you've been canceled.
True. I think you can only cancel yourself. That's what I
mean. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, before we move on, I want to spread some love. And in particular, I mean Bob Marley, One Love, because that's now on 4K disc and digital. You can celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. In an episode all about positivity, this guy was everything about it. Film critics are calling One Love the perfect movie at the perfect time. And just like our topic today, it's all about spreading that love. Plus, you get over 50 minutes of behind-the-scenes footage and deleted scenes. It's available now at participating retailers. You can buy Bob Marley, One Love on 4K disc and digital today. And it's rated PG-13 from Paramount. Enjoyed that film. And the music, of course, you know, is fantastic. Now let's go to our From the Outside In topic. This may be the fastest we've ever gotten to our topic in history.
Well, we're probably not going to be doing a lot of heavy lifting in this episode besides this topic. Yeah.
And there's two of us.
Yeah.
You better hope, everybody listening better hope we can stay positive for the next half hour, 45 minutes. So, this week on the podcast.
Fuck this. Oh, sorry.
This week on the podcast, we wanted to just have an easy discussion for our topic. And why can't fans be more positive? We're including ourselves. Why can't us as fans be more positive? Because we're all guilty of it, right? But why do we continue to feed it? And before, you know, we kind of get into it, I remember when I started this podcast, and a big reason was because people were not appreciating anything but art films. Now, keep in mind, this was 2011. It's a much different scenario now. Everybody has a podcast. I get it. At the time, there were no podcasts doing art format that I saw. And it definitely weren't referencing things that were independent just as much as Michael Bay, like that whole concept of just trying to enjoy film. Not saying nothing is bad. There are definitely films that aren't very good out there, sure, but nobody sets out to make a bad movie. I just don't believe it. And you know, there were a lot of podcasts just shitting on anything that any of us liked, and we just got tired of that. So over the years, there've been a lot of content creators that have joined the pack of positivity and that sort of thing. But it seems the loudest voices are always the contrarian, the negative ones, which is why we wanted to kind of come up to this. So I'm an accredited film critic. Okay. I'm on Rotten Tomatoes, blah, 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 blah. I can't always say a film is good because many aren't. I have to be honest. I have to be legitimate. That's just part of the gig. But I mostly try to say even negative attributes with a positive spin. Because again, like maybe besides Tommy Wiseau, nobody's setting out to make a bad movie. I mean, I literally, at the recording of this, I just did a review for In a Violent Nature. I was not a fan of it. 80% of that movie is a dude walking in the woods. Like literally, it's a nature documentary. Didn't work for me. Okay. But when I'm writing the review, I still point out the positives for it. What works, what kind of works, what doesn't work. But you know, I don't ever want to just be spitting on something. I just think it's a horrible way to look at any art form. But why do you think us as fans do this? You know, and even give credence to another stranger telling us we shouldn't like something that we do.
I did some looking into this because I knew we were going to talk about this subject, and I wanted to know exactly what kind of ideas there are out there.
Did you do some research?
I did.
Okay.
So I'm going to list off a couple of articles that I found, just the subject lines and where they came from. The negativity bias, why the bad stuff sticks. That's Alex Spiegel, NPR. Negativity bias, negativity dominance, and the contagion by Rory Baumeister, Ellen Baranski. Anyhow, that's the General Psychology Review. Why are we hardwired for negative news? Tim Allen, the Adams, not Allen. That's a completely different guy. One guy goes, and the other guy just doesn't.
Right.
The Guardian. And then finally, another article that I found was Bad is Stronger Than Good by Roy F. Baumeister and Ellen Baranski. Again, this is a general psychology review. It's something that in a lot of cases that I think that we're hardwired for. And I actually believe this. And you can see it very much in postings and in Twitter and, you know, anywhere you go. If you can create a negative atmosphere, you'll draw people to it. And sometimes those people, I think, are there to defend it, or that then there's those people who are there for the echo chamber. What about you?
So what were the point of mentioning the headlines?
Well, I wanted to point out that
I feel like there's more context to that I didn't get. Like, okay. Here's some headlines. All right, cool.
So my point is that there is a long running series of research and.
Got it. Okay.
Ideas that talk about the fact that we as a culture or as an animal, we're more wired to remember the bad things. And if you think about it, like
that's why trauma haunts us, right?
Exactly. You know, you touch a hot stove. You're never going to touch a hot stove again.
Speak for yourself, brother.
All right.
Some people just like to see their hands burn.
But we are hardwired to learn from our mistakes, and rarely do we learn from the positive aspects, I believe.
Yeah. I remember when I started. Now, you obviously were a listener before you joined the podcast, but you've been on for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure when you first listened, I'm sure your conversations with friends and whatnot were roughly the same, which were real discussions. I feel like we had real discussions 8 years ago, 6 years ago, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not pointing finger. This isn't a pointing a finger at this or that. It's nothing about that. The culture has changed. The culture has shifted in terms of how we process conversation, how we process understanding of other people's perspectives. People just want to hear it's an echo chamber. Everyone's living in their own echo. Not everyone. That's not fair. A lot of people are living in their own echo chamber where they just want to hear their thoughts regurgitated to them over and over. And as soon as you have an opposite opinion, that just instigates animosity, right? It instigates a need to defend instead of, all right, you didn't like it. Because you're pretty good about that. If you don't like it, I'm not going to argue about it. Whatever. I don't care. You know, I'll debate. I won't argue. I'll debate it. But I'll use facts. I mean, I just don't, I'm not going to sit there and but if something isn't good and somebody thinks it's great, I don't want to poo-poo their opinion of it, except for The Green Knight and The Fountain. Those two movies kiss my ass. But in general, I don't want to poo-poo someone else's opinion because everybody has a different perspective. Everybody sees art a different way. It's the beauty of it. But I definitely want to know how do you see it that way? Why do you see it that way? I don't understand. The thing I saw was terrible, in my critical viewpoint. The thing you saw was wonderful. Why? I mean, why? And I think it's interesting to understand humanity and to know that. But unfortunately, when we started the podcast in 2011 to now, it's a different world. Back then, we could have those debates. I used to debate heartily with former late host Justin McCumber, you know, because we had a very different opinion of what art was, and we would go back and forth. And at the end of the day, most days, you know, it wasn't anything personal. Now it often feels personal. People eventually get to the point where they want to make it personal. I know that's a long kind of like monologue, and I apologize for that, but I'm just trying to illustrate how different culture is. And I think that's a big part of it. I mean, we do it in every aspect of our lives. People are always going to point to politics this day and age, and I don't agree with that. I think it's people. I think COVID helped and hurt.
COVID helped a lot.
Hurt is the word I should have used.
Yeah.
I think COVID really kind of opened that up to the sense of self is more important than anything else. And therefore, that opened up the doors to my opinion is better than everything else. And also, that caused a lot of people fighting against each other. And I think now you've got people that are trying to make other people, when they seem happy, throw in a negative to make them unhappy. I said all that. Does all that make sense? Or am I just pulling it out of my ass?
All of that makes sense. The negative, saying the negative to make people around you unhappy, that's something that I see way too often. And it drives me nuts when I see people poo-poo everyone's happiness or yuck somebody's yum or whatever you want to say. It makes me crazy when somebody wants to actively do that. And you can tell when they want to actively do that because you can see somebody who's, you know, giddy, bouncing, and they're into something so much. And this person's like, hold my beer. And, oh yeah, well, stormtroopers suck. And then all of a sudden, like, the person who's happy is like, oh, I have to defend myself now. I have to, like, stand up for this. Like, what do I have to do to get past this whole situation? You mentioned the start of the podcast. So, when I was first listening to the podcast, I used to listen to, at the time, my partner liked a lot of film podcasts, and every single one of them were these high and mighty hoity-toity film podcasts. Mm-hmm. I remember exactly the day I decided to find something that was more for me, because I was out mowing my lawn and I was listening to one of these podcasts talk about Pacific Rim. And the whole time that they were talking about Pacific Rim, they were talking about how stupid it is because there's no way a robot that big can move the way it was moving, and there's no way some monster like that can do this. And, if, you know,
what?
Exactly. Like, we're talking about a movie that's in a fantastical world where these sort of things can happen, and yet they're going to
come through the ocean, man. I mean, none of this is real.
None of this
is
real.
I mean, the kaiju come through the ocean.
Yeah. None of this is real, but yet they want to sit there and talk about how stupid absolutely every portion of the movie is because it can't possibly happen. And that was the day that I decided I was going to start looking for a podcast of my own. And that's how I discovered The Ho. And I gave it a couple of listens, and here it was. There's a show that's talking about the kind of movies that I tend to watch, the kind of things that I get into, and they are into it, and they are talking about them positively. And if they have something negative to say, they're trying to be very careful to not, and I'm talking about they as if I wasn't there, but because I wasn't at the time.
You were.
They're trying to say things in such a, like, even if they don't like it, they're trying to say it in a way that doesn't make people feel stupid for liking it. And that was really what drew me in. And that's what brought me here. You know, that's what made me such a huge fan when I was first listening, because I appreciated the fact that, sure, you can not like something that I love. That's great. One, watch it. Two.
Oh God, that's a very important one. Don't tell me you don't like something you haven't seen. I just don't care.
Right.
I don't care.
Don't care. That's one of the reasons why I've gotten so good about, you know, when somebody says that's something stupid. Oh, did you watch it? No. Okay. Conversation's over.
It is. There's nothing more to talk about, because that's just somebody who wants to argue.
Exactly. Well, it's because this article, look, I don't care what the articles say, and I don't care what everybody else has said. Until you watch it, you have no ground to be able to tell me whether or not you like something or not.
There you go. I like that.
Fire.
It's not me being negative. It's just that there's no point in having a conversation, a conversation with somebody that's just not educated or has not taken the time to inform themselves about a topic. They've just read the cliff notes. You can't read the cliff notes and expect to be able to have a conversation about it. I've lost track of what I was thinking, talking about.
You said one, see it, watch it.
Yes.
And then I assume there was a two, or if you were stopping at one, that would be amazing. I put in number form and I don't care. I'm out.
I don't care. I one, watch it. B.
Now that sounds like you. Yeah. One and B, and then seven. What?
as long as you don't make me feel stupid. And you want to have a conversation that isn't about making me feel stupid. It's more of a conversation of being like, I don't like it. Here are my reasons. Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with whether or not I think you're smart or stupid. Then I'm fine with it. But don't sit there and tell me things like, anyone who would believe this is just got a problem because of this, that, or the other. You know, stuff like that, where you're making the fact that somebody likes something an attack.
It's an intellectual... It's posed as an intellectual debate, but it's not really. It's saying you're dumb for liking this because this exactly. this is nonsensical. This world mm-hmm. is nonsensical, even though mm-hmm. that's what most of fantasy, science fiction, and most genres except drama and comedy are.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to break it, even horror. Pretty not true most of the time.
Yeah, pretty not. The Warrens, I don't hate to break everyone's heart, but the Warrens aren't exactly, well,
great.
I would say that he was not exactly a good person.
That's a whole nother world, but yeah.
Right.
That the watching it, we already talked about, that's important to me for sure. And I feel like it can be fun to be negative. All right. I've done it on an occasion. You know, I'll rip into something because I just find it so terribly crafted, but I still always do try to find something positive. With the exception again of like the Green Knight. And I don't know why that one made me so I was triggered. You know what? Don't attack my trauma.
Right.
Don't do it.
It's happened to me too. Remember that one I did from the Panamanian director?
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Yeah.
I lost my mind on that one. I got triggered so badly.
It happens.
And he showed up and said, please fix this.
Yeah, please change your review. No, we're not doing that. Sorry. Sorry, buddy. That's true. That did happen, if you can believe it. You know, I don't get why people want yuck other people's yum. Let them enjoy. Like, why do you have to? I love when I say something. It's so easy to predict at this point. I can say I like something that Zack Snyder did, right?
Yeah.
And you guarantee we'll get someone telling you you're stupid. Almost guaranteed. And don't get me wrong. I don't think he's the best director ever. I don't think he's great with definitely pacing. And I don't think he's a very good writer. No offense to Rebel Moon, but he's not a very good writer. But no, he's a stunning director. Like, he captures visuals unlike most in his field. So there's a lot of his work that I do like. But you can say it in a public forum, Facebook, X, whatever you want. Someone's going to attack you. And it's reverse too. It's reverse. Like, you can reverse it. I mm-hmm. didn't like it. Someone still attacks you. Star mm-hmm. Wars. That whole fan base has just gone to hell. I don't understand what's happened in the last few years.
Oh, I've subtracted myself from that fan base.
It's gotten awful. Like, really. It's gotten awful. Oh. I mean, I remember, don't you remember growing up with Star Wars and just everything about it was happy?
Like, just
joyous. Mm-hmm. And now you get just vitriol and people throwing, well, it's woke now. And I'm like, just take that word out of everything, please. Just because there's a person of color in it doesn't make it woke. It just means that they're trying to reflect the real world. It happened. The real world is that way. Calm down. But it's not even just that. It's just, it's like people, no matter what they do, they're either going to attack the way that they filmed it, the story they told, the effects. There's too much of it. There's too little of it. Don't pay attention to the extended universe. They still kind of pay attention. There's Skywalkers. There's this. There's that. It's like, what will make you happy? What would make you happy? And I feel like a large portion of that audience in particular, they just want to be angry about it. And I don't understand why. I'd love to know why. I don't get it. If you're a Star Wars fan, tell me why you're so angry about it. And just don't tell me it's because there's a person of color in it, because then I'm going to tune you out.
Yeah, none of that makes, that's not a good look for anybody. The, you know, other fans that drive me a little nuts is Marvel fans. Marvel's great. I like Marvel.
Because they're too positive.
Well, they're too positive.
They get mad at you for not liking something.
Right. If you like anything that's not Marvel, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. What do you mean you like the Justice League movie that Zack Snyder did? That's like a double negative to them.
Well, and we should even say them, because we like Marvel too. But if you don't like something Marvel, it's like you're spitting on the whole brand or something. I'm sorry, Eternals was a terrible movie. They didn't mean to. I can name all kinds of positive, fantastic cast. Like, one, probably the best cast in any Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
You have a director who obviously won an Oscar, is very talented. For whatever reason, the story just stunk, you know, and it just didn't work. As a film, it doesn't work. And there's still some freaking God with his arms sticking out of the earth that no one's mentioned since 2022. So there's a whole lot of problems with that scenario.
Somebody looked back and said, this might have been a mistake.
Yeah, we're just going to ignore that. Like, nobody's going to notice that from, you know,
yeah.
from the space. No, all the times no that Captain Marvel's flying through space, she never picked up on it. I don't get it.
No one's noticed the oblong shape to the Earth anymore. You know,
I think absolute fandom, either negative or positive, whatever side you're on, is terrible for entertainment. Terrible.
Yeah, that goes along with like how I as a person try to avoid hyperbole as much as possible. And anytime that I start, I see it, I notice it, I'm always like, ooh, back that up. Just got to back that up. If I catch myself doing it, I'm like, oh, I got to fix that right away. It's just, I don't want to be that person that leans too hard to one side or another. And the thing is that if you find me leaning so hard into something, it's because I absolutely love it and adore it. I love Muppets. I let everyone know I love Muppets because I want people to love Muppets too. I love Godzilla. Same vein almost because of Giant Muppet, essentially. At least he started out that way. And I want everyone to, like, people can come tell me Godzilla is terrible all they want. Okay, that's your opinion. Till you come up with a really good reason why a giant lizard is terrible, we're just not going to work. And if they
real.
Say
it's not right, real.
Matthew Broderick, don't you dare say that name to me.
Oh man, Godzilla Minus One is on Netflix. Let's tie it all together right now as we record this, which is one of the best movies of last year. So there you go.
Absolutely. I mean, Godzilla, everything.
That fan base is still positive. So far, Godzilla fans seem to be pretty even keel and positive about whatever comes out. Now, Doctor Who's starting to fall apart. I don't understand what's going on there, but I don't watch Doctor Who, but I've seen a lot of negativity about the new series. So it's just like, what are with these collective fan bases? Do you have any perspective on that? Like, why take Godzilla out of it? But the other ones, why they seem so hellbent to you either have to love it or hate it. There's no in between. You can't just be critical.
It goes along the lines of there's the aspect of the echo chamber. There's the aspect to our negativity bias. Then there's the aspect of confirmation bias. You don't like something. You go and you find a group of people who are comments that agree with you as to why you don't like something. And then you start shouting those even louder. Those are all things that we are wired to do. And the internet has made so much easier. And it's one of the reasons why I think we don't have any more, like, Discord isn't something that, not the server, but commentary and discussion, like, we don't have Discord the way we used to.
You mean because discourse?
That's what I meant. Yes, discourse.
Okay.
I've heard it both ways.
No, I haven't, but you can.
Discourse isn't happening the way we used to because we are too afraid to show up someplace that doesn't agree with us, and we're too afraid to not run around with what we feel like is the thing that's happening.
I love when people counter that with positivity. When people are trying to be negative, they just reply positively. It's almost just like, because, you know, it's just, I hate to use this context, bullies want to be fed. If you don't feed a bully, they're going to go away at some point, or you have to knock them out. But please don't do that, because that's what it is.
That's a great analogy. It's a great thing to point out, though. That's something we should all be doing. Somebody shows up and starts poo-pooing, yucking yum, whatever you want to call it. They start doing that. Oh man, I really like your opinion. That's great. You should say more things like that. You should keep going. Like, you know, and just get them
quite that far. But, but just like, well, you didn't like this thing, but here's what I loved about it, or, you know, just counter it, so to speak. And the trick is I think it's easy to say, you know, I don't think anyone should just only say positive things. That's not what I mean by being positive. You can be very critical and even harsh on something in a positive way. You can. It's just a matter of how you approach it. It's like not trying to make people feel the cut, you know? It's just kind of like gently shaving.
It's like a shit sandwich.
Or that analogy can work.
Sure. Positive, negative,
that's what you're talking about?
Exactly. Yeah. You're like, you're really positive. You know what? If you're writing a review on an employee or on a movie, they did this great. This actor really showed up and did this sort of thing. Awesome. Da-da-da-da-da. Here's the problem right here. Here's where they shit the bed. And then you go back to, but the effects were really awesome. I couldn't believe that I was looking at some of this stuff. You know, that sort of thing. It's a shit sandwich.
I think it's always important to end on a positive, whatever you're talking about, because you can have negative in the middle if you end in a positive. It's less of a sting in many respects, because the last thing you say is the thing that's going to impact people the most a lot of times. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
But again, doesn't mean you can't say anything that isn't just glowing. Speaking of things that aren't glowing, I want to bring up some headlines just to kind of point out how outlets are these days, how entertainment outlets have gotten. So I just picked a bunch of stuff. A lot of it's just around box office, just because I knew those headlines coming into this, so it was easy for me to find. But I grabbed some other ones too. But, you know, outlets thrive on negativity, and that also helps kill potential movies, as it makes it sound as though people think a movie is horrible. Like Furiosa isn't doing great at the box office, so a lot of headlines are just trashing it. Fall Guy came out, a lot of headlines trashed it. When If came out, there were headlines trashing it before the weekend had even started. I mean, it said, oh, it's just a flop because, you know, we were expecting 40 million. It did 35. What? How is that a flop? What the hell are you talking about? Like, your expectations were too high. I never thought, as somebody who's been following this his whole life, never thought that movie was going to do 40 million just because unknown property, completely original. You know, Ryan Reynolds is bankable in Deadpool, not necessarily in other roles. Like, there's a whole lot of factors that go into it. And it's just 35 million was actually a very good weekend, because that is a family film that's going to play a lot longer than other films. And it is. It's going to hit 100 million for sure. Mm-hmm. So I grabbed some of these headlines and I just kind of want to run through them just to illustrate, like, this is the kind of clickbait we've got now. This is from opening weekend, sometimes a Saturday. This is from other headlines from other articles. So here we go. Furiosa runs out of gas. Furiosa and Garfield lead the slowest Memorial Day box office in decades. But the headline doesn't tell you, that doesn't include the COVID years. Makes a difference, right?
It's like the growing pains.
Yeah. It also doesn't tend to mention that this year we are actually coming off a huge strike that lasted like 6 months last year, which means a lot of content that would have filled theaters isn't coming out because it isn't done yet, because it, again, strike 6 months. These are the kind of things that really, really do matter in, you know, fair, accurate reporting, which doesn't happen very much anymore. Summer box office bust. This season's movie slate could put up the lowest haul in decades. This article was May 8th.
That's not even summer, technically.
Mm-mm. Nope. Wild. Some other headlines. Why so many people dislike Chris Pratt and want Star-Lord recast? That's an actual headline to a real article.
Was that a thing?
Yeah. No, not really. But, you know, okay. Vocal minority. But by many accounts, I literally today read an article with Rebecca Ferguson, who has just worked on a movie with Chris Pratt, who raved about what a wonderful, nice, kind guy he is. But for whatever reason, people don't like him because, I don't know, he got divorced and he's religious, and there's a lot of factors that don't make any sense. He seems likable by most people.
Rebecca Ferguson signs off on him. I have signed off on him.
There you go. Meanwhile, Zendaya, tennis movie, Challenger, scores at the weekend box office with $15 million. What? And no, that budget was like $50 million, so that's not a great opening. So I don't know what this headline, like, they're all over the place, man. There's nothing that makes sense. Kung Fu Panda 4 retains lead as Ghostbusters Frozen Empire melts. Ooh, clever wordplay. Godzilla X Kong squashes Monkey Man and First Omen. That's good. Pile on against the foreign action film. Good call.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nice headline. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is crumbling. Jesus. People write this. John Krasinski's If debuts at number one with a soft $33 million. And again, it made $35 million and is on course for $100 million domestically and more overseas. Lastly, as Bad Boys 4 hits the box office, are moviegoers ready to embrace Will Smith after the Oscars slap?
How many years ago was that?
Two. Yeah. It was a while ago, man. It was a while ago. And don't get me wrong.
A lot has happened.
I've made plenty of jokes. It was a terrible event that I'm not going to go back into that. Go find that episode when we covered it in the Oscars. But it's just, that's the kind of thing. All of those are designed to get you to click on them to aggravate you, to entice you, to feed your vitriol. That algorithm is designed to tick that inner anger box inside you, right? That's the whole point of it. So why do you think we click things we already know is clickbait? Because you know we do. You and I do as well. So when you do it, why do you do it?
I think you nailed it on the head, because I was thinking to myself, wait a minute, when do I click on stuff? I always click on stuff when they're attacking something I like. And I'm like, what do you mean Godzilla is garbage? And I'll click on it and be like, that's not what he's saying at all. He's actually saying nice things about Godzilla in here.
None of these were that. I promise all of those were saying negative things.
The exact reason why I find myself clicking on things is because I find that they're attacking things that I like. So it goes along with some of these ideas of the cultural context, market demand, drama conflict is a big one as to why stories are developed. They're purposely developed in a way that have drama and conflict in it, or high stakes. That's another one that they always use as a way to push stories. And that's exactly why I end up clicking stuff, is because I feel like it's a high stakes statement they're making, or there's some sort of drama involved against something that I like.
Yeah. Same thing here. I have a very instinctive defensive mechanism to anything mm-hmm. that I care about. So if you say something negative and it's about something I care about, I automatically am like, I'm going to fight. I won't actually fight, but I want to debate it. I want to see who's saying this sort of thing. Like, why are you saying mm-hmm. it? And then 9 times out of 10, the facts that I read in these articles are not sensical. A lot of people were toasting Furiosa before it came out. As soon as it didn't do well at the box office, they're just crushing it, right? Like, it's just, it tanked at the box office, da-da-da-da. Nobody wants to bring up the fact that, you know, it's a spinoff of a character that was played by a different actress. It's a Mad Max movie without Mad Max. Like, there's a lot of factors that go into why maybe it didn't do so well. Also, that series outside of Fury Road has never really been a big monster franchise. Like, why they put so much money into this movie is beyond me. But, you know, Warner Brothers wanted to bank on it. Sure. But you know this, right? Mad Max did okay for the first 3 films, did great for the last one. It's a fluke. Yeah. It was a fluke.
It is a fluke. Like, Mad Max was always a small movie. It was always like a filmed on a shoestring budget. And except with the exception of Beyond Thunderdome. Thunderdome was the only one that didn't really fall under that category. Yeah, but the rest of them
went a little bigger.
Yeah, it went a little bigger. It had a bigger cast. It had more going on. But the rest of, as far as the original Mad Max movies with Mel Gibson, shoestring, absolutely shoestring budget. And then they went really, George Miller went really big with Fury Road, and it turned out to be a good gamble. But I don't know about the idea of going off on other characters without building out that world more. That's not the question you asked.
No,
I answered a different one.
Yeah, it's fine. The clickbait thing, it's just, it gets us all. It drives us nuts. I mean, I can't stand negative clickbait articles. I can't stand ones where so-and-so actor wants to be in, you know, a Marvel film. Well, of course they do. You know, my God, Michael Rosenbaum wants to be in James Gunn's Superman. Of course he does. He's an actor and he's not great.
He's got a podcast and that's about it.
Yes. He needs a job. I get it. Actor needs a job. That's what they should call those articles. I'm not knocking them. Hey, go ahead. Throw it out there so you can get your name in the press. Maybe it'll lead to something. Great for you. But God, I'm not clicking on those. I just won't do it. I won't do it.
Aaron Peterson wants to be in a Marvel movie. I think I made that happen, actually.
Good for you. Thank you.
For you, a couple times.
Okay. Appreciate it. So what about Cassie? You know, we've all been there jumping to conclusions that so-and-so will be awful before the movie or TV show even arrives. You know, obviously Ben Affleck as Batman's a big one. You know, Robert Pattinson is Batman. A lot of people were just jumping all over that. I mean, I guess Batman's really the big one. But you know, James Bond, Daniel Craig being cast as James Bond, people are arguing over who would be the next James Bond. Like, do we just like to tear things down? Is that what we are now?
We all have this image in our head. We, like, just take James Bond, for example. We never saw him as anything other than a dark-haired, blue-eyed, you know, huge stature kind of guy. And Daniel Craig, before he even became James Bond, nobody wanted to believe that there was a possibility of him being able to fill those shoes. I didn't care, but I think he did a great job. Batman. Most of the Batman, Keaton on up, no one believed was going to be good as Batman.
Makes you wonder, what kind of reception did Adam West get? Do they like, oh man, he's awesome. That's Batman.
It's Batman. You know Adam West.
You know, they had no social media. They had no really entertainment news at that time. I wonder if that was like what it was. Like, man, that's freaking Batman.
That's freaking Batman. I can't believe they got Adam West, whoever that guy is. But seriously though, Keaton on up, when it came to Batman, no one has thought that any of those people were going to be good. And when you did actually think they were going to be good, turned out not so great. Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
George Clooney.
I mean, he was a good Bruce Wayne. That's beside the point. Just not a great Batman. But I think we as fans, right, we take a personal ownership in a lot of these properties. And because they're part of us, nostalgia, whatever. They're part of our memories. They're part of our youth or our adulthood or our relationship with our friends, or they're part of our identity. And I think that doesn't get talked about enough. Like, entertainment is part of our identity. This is one of those things where I don't mind when people have these debates, and I know it's not necessarily a positive thing, but I like the idea of, because while the filmmakers always get mad about this, this keeps it in the zeitgeist. This keeps your property relevant. When people do care about it on a normal level, that's not a bad thing necessarily. When they take it to the Ghostbusters level, when they take it to those kinds of levels, that is when it gets negative. That is when you're just not being realistic. When you start just trashing a movie a year before it comes out because they cast four ladies, that's not rational behavior. That's horrible behavior. That's super negative. And I was talking to someone about this weekend, about this was our topic coming up. And while we were having the discussion, that was the first thing that came to mind. Like, I think that's when it started. Like, that's when I can point to a moment in pop culture and go, that's when this negative movement really, I started to feel it more. When Ghostbusters, the 2016 version, was coming out and people were just trashing it before it was ever released. And I feel like that's where that kind of overstimulated fandom started really gaining traction.
That's kind of profound. If we were to look back on the calendar to see what was going on in 2016, I wonder if we could find any sort of correlations.
You can go listen to the podcast from that era. I mean, Paul Feig sent me a personal message for an article I wrote. True story. Just saying thank you. So that's why it so sticks in my mind. But I wrote a whole article about it, about how it's not going to ruin your childhood. You know, I think that was the name of the article. But, wow. Yeah, it's just, I like discourse. I like debate. I like discussion. I think it's important to the fan experience. You know, growing up, it was important to debate whether Boba Fett was a cool character or not, right, Jen?
No, he's not.
It was important to discuss Spock dying, right? And how impactful that was. And how, you know, why are the even Star Trek movies great and the odd ones are terrible? Like, what, you know, those are the kind of fandom debates that I think are wonderful. Do you want Lord of the Rings regular or Lord of the Rings extended? You know, like, those kinds of conversations are great. It's when we just devolve into this, you're absolutely terrible if you don't subscribe to my train of thought, that we've just fallen apart as a species, I think.
Yeah, we've forgotten how to accept people for our differences, and we expect everyone to be like us. And if we don't get exactly what we want in the mirror, mm-hmm. we insult the person until they agree with us. And that's one of the reasons why I always like, okay, cool, yeah. And move on.
And I think this is the part that breaks my heart. We all grew up nerds, right? Geeks, whatever you want to call people.
I don't know about you.
Love but entertainment. I mean, I had a good run. I'm just saying, you know, because of my love for movies and TV, people would often associate me as, you're a geek. And, you know, that's fine. I don't care. I owned it. And you got to a point where geeks became powerful. Marvel became huge. You know, you've got all these properties, these sci-fi properties, Lord of the Rings and Marvel and DC and Witcher and all this stuff that really rose to the top of fandom. Game of Thrones, like all these things that really rose to the top of fandom and gave geeks power. And it's almost, they became the bullies. A lot of, I'm not saying all, but a lot of geeks became the bullies. They became keyboard warriors because they finally got to a point where they could affect people from their comfort of their own keyboard. They don't have to
gatekeepers.
Really face. Yeah, kind of. And it breaks my heart because that was a beautiful thing for most of my life. I remember going to conventions and comic cons, and it's still, if you go to those things, there's still a lot of that, but it's not as good as it used to be. But that ability to go to like a convention or something and see fellow geeks, and then some of them are dressed up, whatever, but everybody there loves the things that you love. And so when you're talking to them, it's just love. There's nothing but love. It's Bob Marley everywhere you go, right? And, you know, I don't think it's as strong anymore. I think now you get in the same lines and you get people talking about what they don't like about whatever property they love instead of focusing on what they do like. Like, why do you love it? Why do you love it? Why is it, if it's so important that you have to keep talking about it, tell me why you love it. Because you do. If you're talking that incessantly about it, either you love it or you love seeing me upset about it. Which is it?
That's a scary question.
So how can we as fans handle fandom just a little better? You have any thoughts on that?
So again, through some of the research I did notice how we all have this, or I did notice that there's a lot of research and the idea of how it's human nature to focus on the negatives, human nature to focus on, or to absorb in the negative or learn from the negative. So, because we know this, because we're aware of this, and as we become more aware of this, we have the ability of making a choice. So we as people should be able to make the choice to either engage positively or disengage entirely from a situation so that you don't add to the discourse. You don't add to the negativity so that you don't add to become part of the echo chamber. So if you show up and you want to be positive about something and you can't find people who want to be positive as well, and they want to just choose to be negative, hurt other people, attack other people about their thoughts and feelings, then disengage.
It can be hard though, because I agree with you. That's what we should do, or walk away, right? The old adage, walk away. I'm big on the just kill them with kindness kind of thing, or throw positives at it. Take the negatives and try to make it a positive. That's how I would do it. So you and I are different mindsets, same idea. But it can be hard because it reminds me of, you know, in our Facebook group, right? We've got, you know, over 1,000 people are in that group, whatever the number is. You know, it's a private group, so you always have to find it. You can't just search, or you can't just, it's not a public group. You know, remember that we had that time where we had a person, I'm not going to name who they were, but they were in there, and I think it was around the Will Smith time, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what it was. And just proceeded to jump on everything. And we try to be very positive in that group. Like, it's a positive group. I think it's a great group to talk to people in, you know? And we're trying to make the Discord that way, too, if we figure out how the hell that thing works. But this particular person would then just start jumping on every feed with negativity, no matter what it was, had to be negative, no matter what, to the point where, and I gave too many chances. I think we drove away many fans, which really sucked to me, because I took too long to address it, right? I should have just booted them very quickly, but I was trying to be nice and say, you know, hey, tone this down and you got to stop. You can't, you know, people are reporting you all the time and stuff. And just kept getting worse and worse. We finally just said, okay, you're axed. You know, you're done. And then he would go to our page. Same thing. Like, just found every social space we were and did everything he could to be negative. Like, there can be one voice that just drowns everything out, no matter how
and
hard
then he went, to be positive. He went into he wrote a review and did the same thing on the reviews.
Yeah.
I remember
trashed
this.
On iTunes. Yeah.
Yeah, back when I was still more active on social media, or at least more visually active on social media, there was a period in the group where I was the band hammer. I would show up and I'd be like, I'm just here to pay attention to what's going on. As soon as I find something that's negative in here that I don't like, I'm locking this. And if it continues someplace else, people are going to be gone. I didn't play around. I don't like seeing it, because especially in some place that I call home.
With a hammer. This is my power.
You're not going to know how many strikes you have, but you'll know when you messed up.
Well, I should have let you handle that, dude. Dude was a dick. All right. Yeah. So, I didn't name him. I'm being positive. Positively, he was a dick. So now we're going to go to our listeners. We asked in our Facebook group and on X, you know, let us know your, and Discord, let us know your thoughts on all this negativity. Like, what are your thoughts on this whole idea of a topic? So I just want to kind of go through them. So Jennifer Miller, she said, thank you. Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for listening.
You're welcome, Jennifer. You're a sweetheart.
Yes, she's very wonderful. If I see things like what was so-and-so's worst role or worst war movie, oh God, I hate those articles, don't you? 10 worst, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. Shut, man, why do we need to focus on that? We know they stink. You don't need to write a whole article about it.
Well, half the time they're wrong.
Yeah, that's true. They're usually things I like. Like, yeah. Hey, I like Ford Fairlane. I don't know why you don't get it. It's because it's not a good movie. Okay, so anyway, when I see those things, I keep scrolling. I don't want to add to it. It could so easily be flipped to a positive. I look forward to your episode. It's also a big reason I love this group and podcast, because it's very positive, which I love. Thank you for that, Jennifer. That's very nice.
Thank you, Jennifer, as always.
Especially since we do say a lot of off-color comments. So the fact
that you're
still positive, that's a plus, right?
You know, ooh. I don't know half the things I say, so I'm pretty glad with it. Like, people still think I'm pretty positive.
They didn't. She didn't say. She said as a whole. It was a collective. It wasn't just okay. John.
I'm just saying that I know that I say things that I'm not completely checked into my mouth half the time. So,
Stefan said, I ignore the negative rants because it's no point. Movies are subjective, and movies belong to the group that enjoys a specific movie. There are people that like the negative angle when it comes to movies. That's their thing. But honestly, I just don't care if anyone doesn't like a movie. Most likely, I don't have the same taste as them anyways. That's a good attitude to have, man.
That is a good attitude to have.
It can be a hard mindset to be in.
It takes practice. It's definitely something that comes with age, comes with practice, comes with a want. As somebody who does a kind of the similar thing or accepts people the similar way, I can say that there was a period in my life where I would try to fight for the things that I loved a lot harder than I do now.
That's cool. Stuart Bannerman. This is a topic I chat about on every second episode I do. He has a podcast called From Page to Screen, just so you know, so if you want to find it. It always baffles and annoys me to see people who claim to be film fans talking about how they hope a film fails. That makes me negative. I'm with you, man. That makes me feel negative. I'll never understand that mentality. I think those sorts of people who just like to go online and try to show how smart they are by picking... I'm sorry, I added a little emphasis on the syllable.
I dig it. Go for it. All the way through.
How smart they are. We're picking holes in a movie's plot, budget, box office takings, etc. And they don't show themselves are smart. They show themselves as nasty pieces of dot, 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 dot. Those sorts of people also enjoy heading online and picking fights with other people, all from the comfort of their basements. I don't love every film I see, but I tend to talk about the films I really like, rather than wasting time spouting my dislike for something that's my preferred time management way of life. I like this. I do think it's important to discuss critically things that aren't liked as well. Like, I think it's important just because I think that's how real criticism should flow. I think you should have a discussion about it. And if other people feel differently, try to understand where they're coming from, that sort of thing.
But criticism isn't solely about whether or not people are going to like something. Criticism is also about growth. It's about growth for the filmmakers. It's about growth for the writers, the actors. It's about growth for everybody. Done the right way, a critic or doing criticism can actually help somebody develop their skills to a way in which they're improving. If you sit there and just trash it for the sake of trashing it, nobody gets anything out of it except for the person who's trashing it. And that person is just getting the fact that they are able to tell their story of look how wonderful I am and how well versed I am. You know, that sort of thing. It's just that's a lot of it. It is as an artist, and as in going through art school I've had to defend so many pieces of mine, and it's part of the reason why I do things the way I do now is because I've had to learn to disconnect the emotional side of criticism. I've had to learn to accept the good and bad of something so that I as an artist or I as a person can continue to grow. And it gets very hard for people to learn how to disconnect that emotional side and find the bits and pieces that grow from it.
The way I've always approached it when I'm writing a review or talking about a movie or whatever, I always try to approach it from the context that the person that made it or one of the people that made it might hear it or might read it. And in my mind, if I were the one who created this, even if I make a bad podcast, right? I've had episodes that I know are just not good. I know it. I'll listen and you'll hear people tell you about it.
This one.
Maybe this one sucks. Maybe you hate it. Maybe it's too woke for you. I don't know. But I've had those, and I will tell you, every time you get a negative comment, it hurts. It hurts. Even if you know it, even if you know this isn't very good, it's if people come out, God, that sucked, because it's an easy comment to say, right? It hurts. And I try to keep that in mind when I'm writing, when I'm speaking on a movie's behalf or whatever, that even if I didn't like it, explain why I didn't like it. It's why I don't usually like I could go into a lot of funny diatribes if I wanted to, believe me. Mm-hmm. I can write very funny and mean if I want to. I try not to. But to me, because I think someone spent a lot of time trying to get this thing made, even if it's not very good. And I always remember, I'm writing about it. They did it. They went out and did it. They got it done. So all the people that are bitching about them and saying, this movie sucks, I could have done a better movie. You couldn't, or you would have. That's what I'm saying. And I think that should stick in more people's heads. You didn't make a movie. They did.
That's important for people to remember. Tommy Wiseau made a goddamn movie.
Yeah. Yeah. You're being beat by that guy. But he got a movie made that ended up being extremely popular for the wrong reasons, but still extremely popular.
I just had a flashback to different critiques and where it sucks. Okay. I didn't need to know why it sucks though. I don't know. Okay. Next person, please.
Yeah, exactly. That's my favorite criticism. That's terrible. Why? Because it is. Okay.
Because it is.
Thanks. All right. Thanks for being deep. Andrea says, I try to stay away from it, but the negativity is so loud sometimes it's hard to ignore. Fandom turned into something I don't want to be a part of, and I don't think it can be saved. Oof. What do you think about that? That's a brutal comment.
The only part about that concerns me is the fact that he doesn't think it can be saved.
That's and the part I almost, I'm talking about, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's, but he's right. Fandom has turned into something that I don't want to be a part of. And I mentioned that earlier in the episode. I have removed myself from very many fandoms. What I can say is that fandom on the internet is not the same thing as fandom in person.
Absolutely. That's true. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's not the same thing because when you're taking the time to get up and go to experience something, like recently I just did a weekend where I was running at Disney, and there's a whole lot of fans there doing things and are fans of every little bit of the whole program of running.
Wearing costumes and stuff.
They're wearing costumes, yeah. And
that's
the.
That's cool, man. That's cool.
It really is. As the feel, fit and feel, the energy, the vibe, all of it is on point as far as an experience is concerned. And I know that this, the same sort of thing happens at most conventions when you're showing up in person. The internet is just something completely different. And I don't know. I think we give it way too much, way more weight than we should these days.
I agree with that. Ruthie, to Andreas's point, I don't think it can be saved. I'm having doubts. I mean, I think we got to put more good into the world than what we're getting. That's for sure.
You have to make the choice to be the good you want to see out there.
Yeah, there you go. Ruthie says, I don't understand the need to hate or be negative. If you don't like it, move on. I don't understand the desire to dwell on something that clearly makes you unhappy. I would rather spend my time on things I enjoy and things that bring me joy. It can be easy to get sucked in, especially when you strongly disagree and want to know why someone is so blind or stupid. But I don't get the drive to do something simply for clicks. What does getting clicks even mean? Why is it so important that you would sacrifice content for clicks? I'd just rather it not exist. There's no point to it. I'm with you on that. There are a lot of topics we have not done over the years because they were easily clickbait, in my opinion. You know, it just, we could have a salacious topic and I think our episodes would do much better. I know that. In certain weeks and stuff like that, especially around certain topics, but we try to avoid it for the same reason. It's just, it's the moneymaker, Ruthie. That's why they don't get money anymore. If you don't click on it, then nobody's buying newspapers. Nobody's buying magazines. Nobody's really watching, you know, Entertainment Tonight. It's all YouTube videos and clickbait. That's how they make money.
If you're not bringing the eyes to the ads, then you're not getting paid. And that's the thing.
Sad.
And, you know, if you click on anything out there in the internet, only like the amount of screens real estate dedicated to the article is almost the same amount of real estate dedicated to the ads around the article.
True. Yeah. Scott Calgaro. This is just funny. Your entire 2-hour episode. Hey, it's going to be like less than an hour and a half. Thank you. Your entire two episodes.
Back in the day, it was 2 hours.
Oh, man. Back in the day, it was. Summed up in 3 words, people effing suck. Well, that's negative. I'm just saying. No, I appreciate that. That's true, too. It is.
Well, you know, Scott's always short and to the point. He's the one that taught us the words, don't yuck other people's yum.
Yep.
At least he taught me those words.
Millennial Mike with the Exiles Network. That's at the Exiles Net. He pose this, okay? If being negative is something to always be avoided at all costs and is a matter of self-regulation, surely, choosing to leave social media when it has gotten too negative for you is also a matter of self-regulation. The question is, when is negativity permissible? That's like a prophetic question, isn't it? That's like philosophy.
It's really tough because this is where I come from as far as, is it okay to critique something, and can you critique something that may point out the, failures or the shortcomings or whatever other word you want to use that isn't the word negative, to prove the point. But if you critique something in a way that points those out without attacking feelings, attacking intelligence, or attacking anything else that has to do with who the person is, then I guess that's the only time it's permissible. I think I made a full coherent thought there.
Yeah, I think that, you know, for once. you know, yes, absolutely. Negativity is permissible. It's all in how you frame it. That's what I would say. And I don't call criticism negativity. I think it's criticism. I think it's fair. I think art is subjective, and that's what we're supposed to do when you're reviewing something or discussing something in any real capacity is you talk highs and lows, and there are just more positive ways to talk about the lows. You don't need to, again, just pretend the person that made it is going to hear it. And if you have any kind of empathy, I think that changes how you approach it. It's easy to trash something. I think it's super easy. It's so easy to trash something. It's easy to look down, talk down, speak down to a property, to a person, to whatever. It's easy to do that. That's what bullies do. What I think intelligent people, mature people, they have a real discussion around the true criticisms and elements of it. And they agree, disagree, whatever, but they have a discussion. They just debate. That's what I've always liked about the podcast forum is you can have that debate. Of course, everybody has that debate now, and they're all... Even audio now is going for clickbait because they want those little clips they can throw on TikTok or whatever to get people to listen to their podcast. And all they say are salacious things, just wild, crazy things to just drive downloads. And I just don't want to fall down that hole. I just don't. I never want to be in that hole. I just don't.
One of these days, we're going to figure out how to do TikToks.
I'm just terrible at it.
Yeah, at it.
I don't care about China. I'm just terrible at it.
Yeah. Well, at least reels, you know, something we have to start figuring it out so that we can do that. But
I want to add to this. The question is, when is negativity permissible if you're defending someone who cannot defend themselves? I think that's always okay. It's always okay to be negative in that, because that's how you might take it. But to stand in and stand up for someone that can't stand in and stand up for themselves, I think that's an important element. That's my answer. I do not like bullies. Lastly, Lord of Juice Boxes. Humans just don't know how to be happy. It's a big problem. We love to complain instead of just accepting and enjoying what has been given to us. And I think that's what we need to end up on, right? That's where we need to end this podcast, because I 100% believe that firmly, that we don't appreciate the absolute insane wealth of content we have these days. We are greedy as shit. What do you think?
I'm kind of like just flabbergasted at the whole idea, because we aren't, we really don't appreciate what we have. There's another side of like our ability of not appreciating what we have, okay, that some of us have gotten so far into just, there's a study out there that talks about why people watch the same thing over and over and over again. It's because as people, we fall into a relaxation stage when we already know what the outcome of something is going to be that we're watching. And it's what sets us at ease. We can depend on it, and we can follow that along, and it puts us mentally at ease. And that's why we stick to a lot of the things we know, which is to say that that's why the new, you know what? I don't even know where I'm going with this. Let's just cut all that out.
I thought you were going well there for a minute, then you just lost.
Was I?
Yeah, I thought so.
I thought I was losing it there. Oh,
no. No, but it's also a great Eminem song. Just lose it. Sorry. Full circle.
Full circle. Full circle. No. I think what I've done is I second guess myself, because I'm like, how is this related to being negative or positive? And it has to do with the fact that we get so comfortable in our situations that, or our places of comfort, that we can't find our way out of them sometimes. And when you start threatening that comfort, that's when we start attacking or creating situations in which there are more negative, because you aren't bringing us something that we can predict or we can find the same sort of comfort in.
Absolutely. I just love that idea that we're not accepting and enjoying what has been given to us. I'm stuck on that, because that really is true. I mean, honestly, if you don't like something, there is so much other stuff you can watch that you can enjoy. So just go do that.
Yeah. The thing that I've learned to love so much is being able to just say, it's not for me.
Oh God. It's magic, right?
Yeah.
I don't, it's not for me.
I watched an episode or two, and it, you know, I just decided it wasn't for me. Oh, you're so wrong. No, really, I can tell you that it wasn't for me. I just wasn't engaged in it. I wasn't enjoying. No, I know that the actor is great. I know the actor is somebody that I love to watch, but it just wasn't for me. No. I get it, and I understand. Okay, now you're attacking me because I don't love what you love.
Yeah. Oh, I don't get. And you know what? We've all been guilty of it too, right? Mm-hmm. We've all been. I just started watching Tracker on Paramount Plus, which is a CBS show, which I have poo-pooed a lot over the years. And I'm like, I'm not watching those stupid network shows, especially on CBS. What am I, 90? Yes, apparently I am, because I watched the whole damn series. I did.
I'm pretty sure you just hit 50.
Shut your hole. Shut your hole. I watched the whole, I was like, wow, this is, I guess I'm in their demographic now. Officially in CBS's demographic.
Oh, I still got 3 years before I age into CBS's demographics.
Well, anyway, it's actually a pretty decent show. And Jensen Ackles shows up. God, he's hilarious in that show. Hilarious.
He's too much charm in that man.
I'm just throwing more positivity out there. So, you know what? That's going to do it for this episode. Let us know what you thought, and whatever social media outlets you use, you find us on. Let us know on Discord so we know this thing works. And go on the Hollywood Outsider on Discord. We can go to the Hollywood Outsider on Facebook for the group or the page. And we're also at Buy Popcorn on X, where apparently I could just, you know, I could put up a naked picture if I wanted to. I won't, unless it's requested.
You know what? Maybe we should do an OnlyPans.
Only pans or only fans?
Yeah, only pans. We just show pictures of pans.
Look at the curve on that fryer. That's it. We're done. TheHollywoodOutsider.com is the website. Thanks for listening. Stay positive out there. And I want to hear what you guys think about this topic, because I think it's an interesting topic, and I'd love to get listener impact. So remember, the next time you head to a theater or stream comfortably on your couch in nothing but positivity, buy popcorn.
Love you.
Positive popcorn. Nothing
more than that.
like with a Wolverine and Deadpool popcorn bucket. How about that?
Oh, you know, I know you're bad about your butter, but I saw something brilliant where this girl took an atomizer spray, like a spray atomizer, to the movie theater and filled the atomizer with the movie theater popcorn butter. Uh-huh. And just like sprayed that on the butter spritzed it. It's brilliant.
Okay, that's sexier than that Wolverine popcorn bucket. Damn. Now, if I could combine the two, shit. I could have a great weekend. Bring the Doom bucket too, like just have a whole thing.
Three way?
Are we done yet? Oh, yeah, we're done.
I don't think so.